for generations now, moms have heard that the best thing they can do is drop their child off somewhere so that the child will get all the opportunities and education and involvement with other things the child can get. We've denigrated what mom can do, and we want to talk about that this week.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we have special guests this week. You're outnumbered, Dr. Barnes.
I'm always outnumbered, but yes.
The very special Rosemary Barnes, good to have
you
back.
It's wonderful to be here.
And Tori Roberts, too, who's here, and you're a Barnes.
Tori Barnes Roberts. Yes. Oh. I would emphasize the Barnes thing.
Tori Barnes.
Tori Barnes Roberts, yes.
Emphasis on that. Yes. Good to have you ladies here.
Thank you.
Yes, the reason we're here and the reason we brought in more ladies is because we brought in more moms. Last time we were together, we talked about some of the research on childcare and some of the research and the conversation that's been going on for at least two generations about get your children as soon as you can, sign up in some kind of a place because it'll help them have a great school start. And we talked about the fact that that just wasn't always true, knowing that there are some moms that do have to do that. They do have to work, but there are other moms that have done that because they believed it was a wiser thing to do rather than what they bring to the table. And so just some time in here, because if I were a mom listening to last week, I would think, okay, but what do I do? Mm-hmm. I hear what you say. What can I do to help my child get a great start in life, a great start in school, a great start in all these things? And we just wanted to spend some time on talking about that. But I think one of the things I want to open with is, why was that such an easy sell? Why was the degrading of the role of mom such an easy sell in our culture for moms to say, oh, okay, maybe I should be dropping them off at various opportunities and care centers and whatever it is. So I think we wanted to talk about that. And for me, and you would expect me to say this, but I really mean it, we do have here today, we've had the privilege of you as a mom. We have here today also two of the other greatest moms that I know. You did a phenomenal job of raising two kids and me, Rosemary. And Tori, I'm watching Tori with Ruben, and it's just, I'm astounded. I'm astounded at the patience. I'm also astounded. I forgot how hard it is and how exhausting it is. But why do you guys think it was an easy sell for moms to believe? And I'm watching as I pull out of my neighborhood, the SUVs and mom van types things all lined up to drop them off at the Rock Creek Child Care Center as they go off to tennis or they go off to whatever. Why was this an easy sell, do you think? Yeah, any thoughts?
Well, speaking of that line of children, and I have literally walked past there and wept as I've seen these little children holding lunch boxes going into daycare. And again, just to underscore that there are situations where that cannot be helped. But the question, as you're saying, is why in the situations where it can be helped do moms opt to do that? And I think one thing that comes to my mind is that being a mom of a preschool is not an easy assignment. It is, right, Tori?
Right.
It is.
Yeah, Tori's giggling because she's on medication right now.
had a night of no sleep last night because of my preschool.
So I think sometimes, you know, we have a tendency as women to want to do the easy thing, the simple thing, and to drop them off at some place, you know, with the thought that, oh, well, they're experts and it's going to work better for them, is sort of an easy out for us, I think, in a way.
Not only an easy out, but I think a lot of us feel ill-equipped. Mm-hmm. I think as we get into the day-to-day, we're not quite sure what to do with our children. We're not quite sure that we're giving them the best advantages, especially when we have difficult situations or kids that have, you know, even special needs. But even just the day-to-day with a regular preschooler is a little bit overwhelming, and we all feel very ill-equipped, and these people are the quote-unquote experts of childcare. Mm-hmm. So why would I not want to give my child the best possible head start?
I agree with you. Even that word head start was kind of the beginning. It was the beginning for the home, for the family, where the mom, many times single moms, many times inner city moms, not always, it was giving that child a head start of experiences that perhaps some moms just couldn't do because they had to work or because they didn't know how to do it. But what's happened, and I agree with what you said, it's really, 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 really difficult, and it's really, really exhausting. And watching, even last night at our house, watching a 2-plus-year-old at a party at our house just take over. And it was fun for me because I knew you were taking him with you when you left. And it's a baby that I love. It's my grandson, but it is absolutely overwhelmingly exhausting. And all day with that child and all day alone with that child and other children, you know, the next child or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it is exhausting and we need to admit that it's exhausting. And I think that's where dads need to play a part, because what happened even before the past maybe 2 generations of saying it's better to take your child to the experts, I think we've passed through an era where dad didn't have to play a part with the children because he wasn't on the farm and he wasn't in the general store with the apartment up top where mom would send them downstairs to be involved in the store. Dad has been tasked with the job, and his mentality anyway, is a provider, which means I'm providing. And even to the point of the thought that when I come home at 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night, I'm exhausted, wife, and I've done all this work all day. And I think one of the advantages in our home, and I'm not even going to look at you while I have this conversation, Rosemary, is that you
can't wait to hear what this
well
is.
You wouldn't let me do that, and I don't know how you manipulated me into realizing I'm coming home to do the big job. And there was a picture for years on my visor when I would drive west. Tori knows the picture. And I would drive west and I would have to put the visor down in the evening into the sun, and there was a picture of Tori at the piano, practicing piano, and though she didn't want to be practicing piano, and she had that look on her face, and it was like, Rosemary, you were helping me know, this is why you do what you do, this is why you're coming home, help. I need help. And that was very valuable to me, because what happens is we've gone from two parents parenting to maybe since the 50s and 60s, where one parent parenting and the dad attempting to provide. And then we've come into a time where dad's not always able to provide all that needs to happen, but mom's still supposed to do it all. Mm. And so it is exhausting. And then you add to that what you said, experts.
Yeah. And I wanted to comment on that with what Tori said about feeling ill-equipped. I think that we can get easily brainwashed by what we hear out there. And, you know, if everybody on the block and all of our friends are sending their children to preschool and that's the route to go, then we can easily get brainwashed into thinking, well, you know, I don't know a whole lot about education and that kind of thing. So maybe that is the right approach. And maybe that's, you know, what I should be doing like all my friends are doing. So I think your feeling of being ill-equipped is something that we can be brainwashed into thinking by our culture today.
Well, if friends are doing it and you think you should be doing it or gives you permission to do it, and what kind of things are they doing and what's my child missing out on? And is he or she going to have all his readiness skills when he hits school? And, you know, we all do want to give our children every single possible privilege. And if that's supposed to be part of it. And don't you think also add to that that the great American goal has become academics? That we think academics are absolutely everything. And so is my child going to miss out on academics if I don't get them ready?
Well, I think even I was thinking about that from a mom's perspective. I've spent all this money on my education. I've spent all this time on my education. And all of a sudden now I'm at home not doing necessarily maybe what I studied to do. So am I, quote unquote, wasting my education? And it's almost like there's a guilt about that. And, you know, that's another thing that I think is a reason why women feel that they need to go back to work, or, you know, feel the, not that they need to, but they feel the pressure maybe to utilize all the time that they've put into education.
Well, it is an issue of the end goal. What is the end goal? And you couple all of these things we've said, dad becoming more provider, less dad, mom going out there and getting her undergraduate and graduate degree, now having a baby. And in our world, we put off having children until we're both out of graduate school. Mm-hmm. And then having a baby, am I wasting this degree? Am I really defending my gender? I mean, there's a gender issue here also. Shouldn't I be out there in the professional world? Mm-hmm. Because we've been through the 70s now on many of the female issues. And before we realize it, am I doing what I feel called to do? And is raising my children enough of a calling? Mm-hmm. And so often we get so fast in this whole spin that I think we haven't thought through, what was I glad I did? Mm-hmm. When it's all done, what was I glad I did in this? And so I do think there's pressure to get them out there and get on with your life.
And I think with that feeling of pressure, and you've sort of alluded to it a couple times, that the first step is to really sit down if there's a dad in the home and say, let's look at this. You know, we've got children that are coming into the world, or they are here, and we need to make a decision as to how we're going to handle their early education. And what does that look like? And really coming up with a game plan as a family. And I think it needs to be discussed. I think it needs to be looked at seriously. And okay, if we're going to do this, then dad, this is how, you know, it would be wonderful if you would be involved. And I think it's a matter of...
You're talking to me personally. Are we just having a little personal intervention moment there? Because you kind of looked at me with a little bit. I'm glad they couldn't see that.
Because you're
the
only man in this room.
So
you're representing
all
of the dads out there.
Out of the room, yes.
But anyway, I do. I think it's something that it's a decision as a family that we need to make. And then to logistically go through, okay, what does this look like as a family of both parents being involved?
I think that's exactly right. And I think what happens is we end up getting married, no goals. Both of you had goals when you got married. You had a goal with a master's degree to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. That was a goal. You had a goal. You got out of college, but your goal was always, okay, if possible, I'd like to be a stay-at-home mom. I would like to be the molder that God uses in the life of my child. Mm-hmm. Granted, everybody can't do that. But when we had that goal early on, we didn't spend money. Mm-hmm. When we had that goal early on, we didn't get into debt so that it was able to do. Was it easy to do? No. We
had a lot of peanut butter sandwiches.
We did spend a lot of time not eating the foods we'd like to eat. And I remember during those early years when we would walk out of church and everybody would say, you want to meet us at Steak and Ale for lunch? And that was just never on our to pay for a lunch out of the home for at least half a decade was not something we weren't able to do this thing that we felt called to do. And yet I think there probably were moments of regret. And the irony in our world is when you got pregnant, you were making twice as much as I was. And I remember thinking, I should be the one getting pregnant. She's out there making twice as much as me. And how are we going to make this work? But the goal was, and we had to get that down. I think we had to answer the why. Why are we doing this? And the why are we doing this? We felt it was a calling. So then what do we need to do? And first you get the why, then you get the what and the process. And then again, we're not here this week to make anybody feel guilty. Everybody can't do this thing that we did and want to do. And here's another issue. There may be many moms that would love to do this, but their spouse isn't on board with this. So you got this degree and you're going to stay home. I don't get that. And so it is a call. And it really is a privilege. And I think we need to see it as the high privilege of being your child's first teacher and hearing those first words, not picking them up and having somebody at the child care center. Let me tell you what he said today, which has to be brutal. Mm-hmm. There's a movie called One Fine Day. It's one of our favorite movies with that guy you like that I don't like very much named George Clooney, just because Rosemary likes George Clooney. But watching that movie and watch them both drop their child off at the Fifth Street Center just is in my head, and all that they go through, and where she has this wake-up moment where she walks out of that business deal at the dinner because her little boy needed to get somewhere and realized, what am I doing? I'm missing it all. Such, for me, such a profound statement. I think this whole thing starts with a backing up. Why am I living this life I'm living? Who's pushing the buttons? Is the culture, is my gender, the people around me pushing the buttons? And then from there, making the decision, we choose to make the financial sacrifice of not having stuff, not having the things we need to have. We choose to make the decision to do the things we need to do because we believe we are, as mom, the best teacher our child can have. And the second best teacher is dad, and pulling dad in to make this work and not conforming to the pattern of this culture if you can. With that, we want to spend the rest of this week talking about how then do you do that.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes and Tori Barnes Roberts. And we're going to continue this topic when mom and dad run preschool in your house here on Parenting Today. I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want to find out more about the ministry of Sheridan House, You can simply go online and find all the resources there, even support the ministry at shfm.org. And if you want to hear this program again, share it with a fellow mom or someone that can use a little encouragement. You can listen to it, podcast it, and find all the links to it online at parentingtoday.org. Even sign up for the daily blog that corresponds to this. Again, it's online at parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for another edition of Parenting Today.